Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me today. I am super excited for the interview that we're having today. And listen, I know I get excited about all of the guests that we have. We have had medical professionals. We've had anywhere from, you know, an anesthesiologist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a nurse, a dentist, a pharmacist, an acupuncturist. Like, we've had it all. And we've had patients. But today, our perspective comes from a hospital clown. His name is Eddie Smits. He is from Belgium. He is a member of Generation X. And Eddie, thank you for joining me today.
That's my pleasure, Rob. It's really my pleasure.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare. And if you don't mind, a little bit of how did you get into hospital clowning?
Yeah, let me just start by the beginning. I was trained as a teacher. I studied to be a teacher, but then I soon found out that was nothing for me. I mean, couldn't be creative and stuff. And then I went into children's theater. I started actually as a puppeteer. And in those days, I rolled into this children entertainment and stuff. And clowning was something that I was fascinated about, actually. And so I went into it. I followed some courses. I made a clown show. I did kids' birthdays parties and these kind of things. And then at some point, somebody asked me, they were looking for to set up projects to put clowns in hospitals. And I was very interested. And I went there on an interview, and there were like really a lot of people came there. I thought, there goes my chance. But actually, I got picked with somebody else, and we started with two people. And I soon found out that hospital clowning was a totally different animal than the things I was doing. Actually, it's simple. I mean, when you're a clown, you come at a party, you're in the spotlights, and you come in and children see the red nose and everybody is happy and ecstatic, and you don't actually have to do anything because they are happy you're there. But in hospitals, it's a different story because children are afraid or they have pain, or so they live in a kind of bubble, and you got to get through that bubble. And to be honest, the nose doesn't help all the time. The nose can even be the thing that you don't get in. So you have to find ways in your clowning that you can find this connection with this child and that you can do things for the child. And, you know, in the beginning, you start with doing balloons and magic and all the things that kids find so interesting and so fascinating, right? And then you soon find out, but in hospitals, they don't like balloons. Why? And you find out why, and you start, you start finding your way. And that was a little bit, we were pioneers, actually, the two of us, and we had to find out these things by ourselves, by failing and by a lot of crying children in the beginning. but we found our way, and that formed us in a way that we were, at the end, we were really strong. We really knew what we were doing because we had this whole evolution in not knowing what to do or thinking that we knew what to do. Mm. But then we had to reform everything. And it was a beautiful journey, actually.
I can imagine. So let me think about this. And that is, when you're doing your typical clowning, it is a one on many audience, right? Whereas one clown, awesome, many children. Whereas in the hospital, is it a more of a one-on-one situation?
Yeah, it is a one-on-one. That's also one of the big differences, of course. You just have one child, or in some cases there are two, if the rooms there are two child, but that are the exceptions. So it's one-on-one child, and often parents are there too. So it's like it's a totally different situation, and it requires an other sort of clowning. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. And is the hospital clowning medical related, or is it intended to kind of get the kids' thoughts off of what's off of the medical paradigm where they exist?
Well, it's a little bit of two. I mean, you really, because you are briefed on forehand, it's really important that you know why they are there. And let me give you just an example. You know, when a kid has a broken arm and you go in the room and say, did you have a fight, for example, right? As a clown, you want to, or there's a black eye, let us say that. And then, oh, you got into fight. But actually, there's misuse, right? Misuse. So then that's a failure. You can't come out anymore. Then you're done in that room. So you have to know the medical background. You have to know the whole situation. But the thing is, as soon as you come into the room, you have to forget it, because it is your job to get, like you are saying, to get this child out of this medical situation and put it into in a situation where it can laugh about it, where it forgets it, where it can put its mind off it. So it's a delicate situation sometimes, and it's a challenge as a clown to know it, but. Yeah. At the other hand, not knowing it, and you have to balance it. It's a delicate balance sometimes.
Okay. Let me just say what I heard from you, and that is, it starts with knowing the individual. You've got to learn about the individual that you're working with, but then when you are in the room, you have to let go of that in some ways and really be in the experience of the moment with the individual that's in front of you. Have I properly summarized that?
Yeah, it's real good summarize. The in the moment thing, it's really important. And that's also what we do. And when I trained a lot of hospital clowns afterwards, you come into the room, you take in the room, the child, the parents, whatever is there. And in the moment, you start improvising as a clown. But you use the things that are there. How is the kid feeling? Is it afraid? Is it playing? Whatever it is doing, you pick in on that and you hone in on what is important for the child. And that's the biggest difference with clowning out of the hospital. You are the star attraction and you entertain. But in hospital, it's the other way around. You follow the leader. Yeah, you follow the lead of the child. And that's a big, big, massive difference. And that's why a lot of clowns fail in hospitals, because they are so used of taking the stage and they don't let go of the stage, and it's about the child, it's not about you.
You know, it's so interesting to hear you say that, because what you're saying is that even in hospital clowning, it has to be patient-centered and patient-focused, which is a very powerful message. All right, I've been so fascinated with what your work is and what you're doing. We're a little bit behind on questions, but it's okay. We'll make it up. So what does quality healthcare mean to you?
For me, quality healthcare is going beyond the disease. You know, the disease is you can cure by medicine or by
treatment and so on. Yeah.
By treatment and so on. But it has to go further than that. And that is, doctors, nurses, everybody who works in a hospital, there's a human being there. It's not a disease that you are treating. It's the human being that you are treating. And by looking at it that way, you can accomplish a lot more. Often it's all in the head with patients, right? And if you can switch to not seeing not looking at the chart, oh, it's a broken arm, oh, we have to do this. If you can look past that, I think that's what real care is about.
Thank you for sharing that. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare, whether it be from your experience or it's something, you know, just a generalized example?
Yeah. When you come into a room, in whatever thing you are, clown, nurse, doctor, why don't you begin with a smile? That's such a stupid thing to do, and such a nice thing to do. Smile at the patient before you say anything. Before the, just smile, and you probably get a smile back, and that's already establishing a very strong connection. And go from there. Then go into whatever you want to go into.
There is the acknowledgement of the individual and that human connection that is the foundation for even a medical relationship. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I wish people took it more serious in that point of view that laughter is healing. Laughter is, that's the sentence. Laughter is healing, and you can explain it in a medical way. It releases endorphins and all these good stuffs. That's the medical way to see it. But as a clown, you know, okay, if there's laughter, you forget your disease. And when you forget your disease, that's the healing process, and the healing starts when you forget your disease. And when you focus on your disease, it won't heal that fast. It's a medical fact, actually. So, yeah.
Okay. So I love it, because what I heard you just say is that the medical community needs to take clowns more seriously, which is a great reminder that the work that's being done there is, it's more than just come in and tell a few jokes and, you know, put a red nose on somebody and try and, you know, make them smile or whatever. There is a reason for it. I think what you talked about with laughter being part of the healing process, let me just ask it this way. It seems like you said there are two elements in which it helps. Number one, it diverts your attention from the disease or from the whatever the situation is that you're experiencing that has put you into the hospital. And number two, am I correct in thinking that there are simply benefits of laughter that will aid in the healing process beyond just diversion? Have I properly framed that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the way it is, actually. Yeah. And we know that. Science knows it. That's the funny part of all. We know that it's scientifically proven that is the case. So why don't we explore it more? Not even as clowns, but also as nurses, doctors, pediatricians, whatever.
Okay. I've got a side question for you, okay? Because I had someone that did like a laughter workshop in which they came in and they wanted me to laugh even though nothing was funny. Okay. I felt kind of empty and hollow doing that. And are there benefits to genuine laughter that are different than forced laughter, or is that something that's outside of the realm of what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, the body reacts the same. It's the same endorphins it releases. And let's compare it with this. You can go into the gym and go sit on a bike, right? Or you can take your bike and go biking in nature.
Okay.
So it's the same for your body. You train your body, but it's a totally different feeling for your mind, for your soul, for what you see. I think that's the best comparison I can make.
It's a great analogy in which your body has, physically you have the same experience, but the mm-hmm. emotional and the visual connection is completely different. So good. Yeah. Okay. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Well, to be honest, I'm not that involved in the future of healthcare, but I think it would be a good idea that we teach nurses, doctors, pediatricians to bring a little bit more of humor in their work. And it can be just simple things. And you know, not everybody is born to bring humor, but some things are so simple that everybody can do it. And if healthcare took these things in their education, for example, why not? I think that would be a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, a number of years ago, Robin Williams did the film Patch Adams, in which you're looking at a doctor who saw the intersection between humor and care. Because I'll just, my gut reaction is, I wonder how people would feel about doctors in their professional role if the doctor is kind of, if they view the doctor as being cutesy or something like that. But
it's simple. The doctor needs to take his profession very seriously, but he doesn't need to take himself seriously. They're two different things. They're two completely different things. And a patient has that distinction. I mean, they know, and there's nothing wrong with making people laugh.
Yeah. Okay. It goes to the same thing in which you have people who have tremendous knowledge, but a horrible bedside manner. And in that way, you know that you're getting good care, but there's something missing there. You don't have the personal connection and the quality feeling out of that. So what you're talking about again is that it's the intersection between both. Yeah. You must be completely professional, but also you must have the willingness to make a personal connection.
Yeah, for me, that's no care. Then there's no care anymore. See, if you bring a car that has been broken to the garage, they fix it. But we are not bringing cars. We're bringing human beings to the hospital or whatever. And there's more to fix than a broken arm or whatever, or even a new heart, put in a new heart. There's more than that. And as long as we see that, I think we are on the good way.
Yeah, I think what you just said there makes so much sense from this way. You're talking about viewing the patient as a whole, right? They are not a broken arm. They are a person with a broken arm. They are, you know, a football quarterback with a broken arm who can't play for the rest of the season or something along those lines. And so what you're looking at is the people who are proficient at treating the disease may not be the same as the people who are proficient at connecting with the individual as a whole and seeing the person as a whole. Very, very, very interesting. Okay, last question for you, and you kind of already answered this, but I'll let you either go in a different direction or reiterate. And that is, what is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Yeah, it's stop taking yourself so seriously.
Yeah,
take your job serious, not yourself. It's my God. I mean, that's sometimes the thing. The moment they get capital D small r dot before their name, they start acting as, I don't know, as other human beings, and that's also, and it's also, I mean, if I put my name somewhere, I don't say Mr. Smith. It's Eddie Smith's, right? But a doctor always puts DR before his name. Why is that? A doctor is not smarter than a mechanic or a cook or he can study better and of course he gets paid more, but that's not the case here. It's not because you get paid more that you should be dehumanizing yourself. You're still a human being. And doctors also have children, they have a family, and they have an emotional life. And I know, and that's also what a clown does, because I did a lot of palliative children, so they were about, some had even just a few days to live. And I know that sometimes it's difficult to cut loose the emotion, and as a clown, you can't sometimes let it in, but it is still there. And the moment you lose the total emotion, you become, then you have an apathy or how you call that. But then you're not caring anymore. And even as a clown, where you have to stick in this clown role, which is very difficult with a kid who is about to die, but still there has to be some kind of, even as a clown, some kind of human thing that visits this child. And I know it's easy as a doctor, being a doctor and only see the medical. And I think that's the key here. It's easier just to see it as a broken arm or something that needs to be fixed, because then you don't have to go into the emotional. But it's my plea to go into the emotional, because then you treat the patients better, in my belief.
Yeah, a very powerful statement. And listen, Eddie, thank you so much for being with me. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. This has been as fascinating as I anticipated. And I will tell you that I appreciate you and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.